What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Gary Kester, and we are back. A little hiatus. I don't know how long it's been. It feels like it's been a pretty long time. I think the last time we did this, we talked about the Kawhi news, and that feels like forever ago now. But I am joined by my right-hand man, Hani Amadian. Hani, how's the summer treating you? I know you went on a little adventure to try and get that Popeye's chicken sandwich today.
Yeah, listen. Life is very cruel, and in your greatest moments where you think you will finally have a moment of happiness and satisfaction, you go to a Popeyes and they don't carry it. But overall, yeah, it's been a pretty solid summer, having my hot boy summer out in LA, but getting really excited for the season in a couple months.
Man, the NBA season cannot get here fast enough. Like, at least like college football and the NFL start soon, so I mean that'll kill some time, but yeah, I haven't tried to go get it. Maybe I should do that for lunch tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
this is not a sponsored podcast, by the way. I mean, Popeyes, if you want to throw I mean, if Popeyes wants to throw some money or just some free chicken sandwiches at us, we'll take either or both. Yeah. So yeah, we're not
overly picky on this at my local Popeyes. Even that's that would be an improvement.
Listen, you're setting the bar way too low here. You got to include me in this, because if it's just provided there, like, I got to make sure it's provided up here in Boise. Come on now.
Because
I'm not 100% confident in that.
The worst car accident I've ever been on was right after I got Popeye. So if that's not enough for them to give us a sponsorship, I don't know what will be.
You got to claim whiplash in that scenario. Your neck hurts.
I broke my arm saving the bag of Popeyes. I was securing the bag.
When securing the bag goes wrong. Oh, man. Okay. Before we dive in, as always, if you like the podcast, you can subscribe to us on YouTube, iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify. And you can always find us always on LakersOutsiders.com. All of our content is there. We have an amazing team. Keeps you up to date on the latest news and rumors and editorials and all kinds of stuff. So be sure to catch all of our content there. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all that fun stuff on social media. And Hani, you mentioned that life is cruel. It's cruel in a number of ways, but it's been especially cruel to DeMarcus Cousins. This is like the saddest segue I think I've ever.
It very much is. Yes.
It's breaking my heart just to do it. But, DeMarcus Cousins has had just such unfortunate injury luck these past couple years. I was excited for him to be a Laker, especially in year two post-Achilles surgery. But he was playing in, a rec league, like a YMCA basketball league or something like that. Just playing some pickup basketball, and unfortunately tore his ACL and – his season is probably over. I doubt he'll be able to return for the playoffs. You never rule anything out, but that is an injury that usually takes about a full year to recover. So I guess my first question about not having Boogie is, because I think he was going to be a pretty important piece of this roster, can the Lakers still win a championship without him?
I think they absolutely can. And it's largely based on the NBA being as wide open as it's ever been. And, you know, there's a lot of great teams out there, but there's no teams that you can say are clear favorites, in my opinion. And the Lakers, by virtue of being one of those teams that has a great superstar duo and maybe the best one in the league, probably the best one in the league, I think.
Yeah.
I think they absolutely have a chance. They have a pretty solid roster built around LeBron and Anthony Davis. They have shooters. They have good defenders. You can see the makings of a good roster for sure. And you can see the makings of a good team on both ends of the floor. Obviously, before we see them on the floor, there's no way of really telling how good they're going to be. And, you know, even last year, even with all the crazy signings, we were pretty optimistic. And obviously that didn't turn out very well. So a lot of it will hinge on other injuries, making sure everybody else stays healthy over the course of the year and into the playoffs, and what happens with other teams. You know, injuries happen to them as well, and so anything could change for sure. But I don't think it drastically decreases their chances of a title. I think it is significant because Boogie is just such a talented player, and even being at whatever percent of his peak he was last year, coming off the Achilles tear and then coming off a quad rupture in the playoffs, he was still pretty productive for the Warriors. He had a lot of great games in the regular season. He was arguably the biggest reason they won their game during the finals. It's significant, but I don't think it really changes the course for the Lakers too much, provided that they can get the right replacement for him.
Yeah, it's a pretty big hit, just because I think on a lot of nights he was probably going to be, their third or fourth most impactful player. I mean, maybe fifth. With Kuzma and Danny Green, I think kind of vying for a player on any given night. I think it was going to be kind of dependent on the night with those three. I still think they can. I think mainly because you win titles in this league with your superstars, right? Like, role players are obviously important. You need those role players to step up, but role players don't get those opportunities without really feeding off of other stars. Like, you're not going to have a team full of role players and no star power, make a deep run in the playoffs. Like, you might see a team like that, I guess, get to the playoffs, but like you win with superstars. I mean, you see it every year in the finals. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't really think of a team that like has even gotten to the finals without multiple superstars lately. The Raptors did, but the roster was built so well.
Yeah.
And they played so much off of Kawhi Leonard. They still had, Kyle Lowry, who's an all-star player.
Right.
And they had really, really good talent. But it's just kind of the day and age we live in that you need multiple stars. And the Lakers have two really, really high quality superstars. Two probably top five or six players in the league. I still think they have some good pieces around them. I think Danny Green's going to fit in really, really well. Kyle Kuzma, if he takes a step forward, especially in the, and if the 3-point shot, kind of comes back towards the level we see here, that'd be a big development. Hopefully some other guys maybe can have bounce back years, like Avery Bradley. Hopefully Alex Caruso gets some more opportunity, and he's still as effective as he was last year. Other guys are gonna have to step up, and it's gonna depend, I think, a lot on who they fill out the roster with, because I don't know how exactly it's gonna work. I don't know if they can get like an injury exception for Cousins or how that's gonna work. I don't know if it creates like an extra roster spot.
I don't believe so. I think you can do that only if you have like a lot of injured players. So once you hit a large number, then they'll give you like the hardship exception. I don't know if that even creates a roster spot or if it just gives you cap space, but no, I don't think they can't really get another roster spot without cutting somebody.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that would make sense. Either way, I think, like a guy like Troy Daniels, they could probably let go if they need to create an extra roster spot. Like, if say they sign a replacement for DeMarcus Cousins and then Andre Iguodala comes available, I think they would probably part ways with somebody to get him on the roster. Because my outlook for the team would drastically change if they got a guy like Iguodala, a wing defender that can create. Like, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
I would still, there's still some guys out there that I wish they would take a look at. The Cousins injury just sucks, man. It really does. Cause I was really excited for him and Anthony Davis. I think they really enjoy playing next to one another, and they were going to get that opportunity while playing next to LeBron James and Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma, a really good roster. And I think Frank Vogel would have been able to utilize those guys really well. And, the Lakers are definitely going to miss really what Boogie can provide, right? Like with his floor spacing. And I think I've seen some people talk about it, but I think it, gets overlooked by a lot of people. His ability to create is so crucial for, especially at that position.
Yeah.
And, I think the Lakers kind of need all the creation they can get outside of, probably their primary ball handlers like LeBron and, I mean, Anthony Davis, I don't really view him much as a creator, but I mean, he's going to draw a lot of attention.
Right.
But yeah, they're definitely going to miss those qualities that Boogie brings to the table.
Yeah. Yeah. The passing for sure, I think, was going to be huge for this team specifically, considering they don't have a lot of playmaking, especially if they don't end up getting somebody like Iguodala. And I mean, yeah, you touched on it of just feeling so awful for Boogie to have three pretty significant injuries to his lower body in, I think, an 18-month stretch. And I mean, that's just dreadful. And for it to come this summer after he had just lost so much weight and was like looking like he was in the best shape of his career and, you know, had the few months off to really rehab from that torn Achilles a couple years ago. And yeah, it's just kind of a really unfortunate circumstance.
Yeah. And it really sucks because it seems like ever since, the Kings, I mean, kind of wasted a few really good years with DeMarcus Cousins. Like, I mean, they just had bad teams around him. And ever since he's gotten out of that situation, he's just been unable to stay healthy. And it really sucks because, I mean, the Pelicans were a pretty good team when he was there. And then obviously he was on a title contender last year with the Warriors. And the Lakers, especially with Cousins, looked to be really, really good this year. And really in the thick of things in that race out west. But, yeah, it just sucks, man. It really sucks because, like you said, we saw kind of the pictures of him, the interviews, and he definitely looked like he had slimmed down and was really ready to go and have a really solid year, you know, with a full off season to prepare. He didn't have that last year, and, you know, now he's obviously not going to get it this year. And I just hope he's able to recover and just stay healthy. You know, I'd love to see his career just get back on track because he's so talented, such a talented player. And I guess, I mean, if assuming Anthony Davis does resign, if you're the Lakers and you can get DeMarcus Cousins back on another cheap deal, you have to do that, right? Like, assuming his rehab goes well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they will have more information than any other team about what's going on with him health-wise. But yeah, the potential with Boogie, if he ever can get, you know, to like 80% of what he was, is still so high. He's just such a talented player that, you know, if you can get him for cheap, you definitely try to. It's just, it's hard to be optimistic when he has three just major injuries in such a short span of time. But I'm really hoping he bounces back. By all accounts, he seems to be a really great guy who's always giving back to the community as well. So, that just adds to, you know, being motivated to hopefully see him recover pretty well and then hopefully stay on the Lakers and keep providing on the basketball court as well.
Yeah, I'd really like to see, I mean, assuming Anthony Davis re-signs and whatnot, because I really like to see that duo next to LeBron, Danny Green and Kuzma. I really like to see Boogie be a Laker, which is funny because, like, I remember a few years ago with the whole trade drama with Sacramento, I wasn't really on board with trading for him. I was kind of indifferent on him. And I think, like, with his role, like, and especially because, like, if you get him on a cheap deal, I mean, that's totally different than trading for him. And then, you know, the assumption was, oh, his contract's going to be up soon, so you've got to pay him. So, yeah, on a cheap deal, hell yeah. Like, give me DeMarcus Cousins, even after this injury. Assuming he can come back healthy, I'll absolutely take DeMarcus Cousins. Hopefully we get to see that. So that'd be really cool. But so there have been a lot of rumors and reports about kind of the Lakers looking to replace DeMarcus Cousins and the name that made headlines, because even in August, the Lakers like to stir up some stir up some drama, let's just put it that way. I had another word in mind, but we're gonna keep it PG here. The name that came out initially from Shams Charania from The Athletic was Dwight Howard. There's been kind of a lot of noise about Dwight Howard and wanting or being open to returning to the Lakers, and apparently, according to Shams, the Lakers have received, wow, I am just fumbling all over, received permission from the Memphis Grizzlies to talk with Dwight Howard, who is under contract with them but is expected to be bought out, which, hey, Grizzlies, if you're listening to this podcast, just buy out Iguodala while you're at it.
Dwight Howard is actually Andre Iguodala on somebody else's shoulders in a trench coat.
They should just, it should just be Iggy with a Dwight Howard mask. And then, yeah. but no, the Lakers are going to talk to Dwight. And this is really fascinating to me because, like, am I off base by saying there's no way this happens?
I mean, that's how I feel about it. The initial report coming out, I thought, you know, there's no way. This is 100% coming from Dwight's side, and maybe even the Grizzlies' side to try and get interest in him since they haven't bought him out yet. To like, hey, if you want him, you might want to give up a second round pick because he wants to go to the Lakers instead of your team.
Because if there's anything you want to do, it's trade for Dwight Howard and make him play in a situation that he doesn't want to be in.
Exactly. And I still somewhat believe that, but there is a little bit of smoke, and it does seem like there is mutual interests in the Lakers at least doing what Ramona Shelburne, I believe, called their due diligence in talking to Dwight, which, you know, it makes a little bit of sense. He is probably the most talented guy they could get at the center position. It's just with Dwight, it's number one, it's his health. He obviously hasn't been the same since he even came to the Lakers because of the back injury. And then, you know, his motivation and what kind of impact he has on the locker room always is an issue as well. Mm-hmm. I do find it hard to believe that the Lakers signed Dwight. It just... with everything that happened the last time they had Dwight, how embarrassing that season was, how embarrassing the way that he left the Lakers was, with them putting up billboards for stay D12 and leaving after 1 year to go to the Rockets. He basically forced them into a rebuild right away. And the fact that, you know, the ownership is still the same, and the guy running the team is Kobe Bryant's agent, and we all know how much those Kobe and Dwight loved each other. so, like, you know, we heard all these rumblings over the summer about how, like, how Kobe actually has some influence in the Lakers front office, even if he's not actually employed by them or whatever, but he has influence through Rob Pelinka. And I just find it really hard to believe that all of a sudden that influence doesn't matter and they're going to sign Dwight.
Kobe was most definitely the shadow president. Like, Pelinka definitely texts Kobe about every move. Like, do you think I should do this? Rob, probably. I don't care. Do it.
Yeah. That's why they keep
saying it. Yeah, probably. We had breakfast that one time, and he picked up the bills. So, yeah, keep giving him a contract. It's funny that you mentioned the billboards, because, like, I'm honestly surprised that we haven't seen billboards pop up in the L.A. area. Because, like, the billboards back in 2012, 2013 were stay. So yeah. I'm surprised the billboards haven't popped up and say stay away.
Well, if anybody wants to start a GoFundMe.
If anyone wants to start a GoFundMe for some more Popeye's chicken sandwiches, that'd be fine too. We've been recording this for like 20 minutes and we still haven't heard back from Popeye's yet. So, yeah, I guess if he signed, the billboards would just change to leave, I guess. I don't know. There'd just be so much fan backlash, I think. Like, for me personally, I don't have any issue with Dwight. I mean, I do have concerns about it. But for me, my animosity towards Dwight pretty much went away when Lillard hit that game winner the very next year. After that, I was like, okay, you got, like, you know, what I wanted to happen to you. We're good. Like, you know, I buried the hatchet at that point.
And, I think mine went away when Steve Blake had a game winner over.
That's true. Dude, I came across that clip the other day and I was just like, man, that team was so much fun until they just got bombarded with injuries.
Yeah.
Steve Blake. Shout out to Steve Blake.
It's too early for that shout out.
Yeah, no, I have concerns about it. I don't really care about the fan backlash because, like, fans, you know, are fans. Like, they're going to either love or hate whatever move gets made. But that would be a very unpopular move. I don't think Dwight's a bad option. Like, I still think he's a decent player. Yeah. And I think what he brings, like, his skill set could still be very valuable, especially next, you know, playing some minutes next to Anthony Davis, or even with, like, LeBron at the four and Dwight at the five, like, when you stagger lineups. His ability to defend and, you know, protect the paint, protect the rim, and rebound the basketball, I think, like, those things are very valuable. My concern with Dwight is he going to buy into that role where they say, hey, on offense, we're not going to throw the ball to you in the post. We need you to set solid screens. We need you to catch lobs, finish around the basket, like, when those opportunities present themselves. We're not going to run anything through you. And then we need you to focus on playing good defense and rebounding the basketball for 15, 20 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
Is he going to buy into something like that? You know, because I think if he did, it would be really, he could be really, I mean, like, a really solid bench contributor. Because I still think JaVale is going to start, even if they sign somebody else.
I agree.
Probably just due to familiarity.
Yeah.
And I mean, JaVale was legitimately good last year too. Like, I don't mean to take anything away from him. Yes. And I think he's a pretty solid fit, especially, you know, next to Anthony Davis. That's elite rim protection with those two out there. So,
and he's a legend.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to smack you. I swear to God, next time I see you, I'm going to smack you. And then I'm going to steal your Popeye's chicken sandwich.
I was going to say, slapping me wouldn't be as big of a disappointment as what happened to me today, so it's okay.
But yeah, no, Dwight, he's still, like, a quality player. My question is, what's his mentality? Does he still think he's a star that needs X amount of touches? Does he think I need to start? Because, like, that's kind of the thing with Carmelo, I think, is, you know, I still think Carmelo could be, like, a contributor on a team,
yeah,
if he buys into his role. But I think, like, the issue with Carmelo is, I mean, we saw it with the Thunder, you know, where he was asked about, like, coming off the bench, and he was like, he just doesn't buy into that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, I get it. Like, I mean, both Carmelo and Dwight were both, like, superstars back in their prime.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of tough to kind of, I think, mentally grasp, like, hey, I'm a 20 minute per night guy and I'm coming off the bench. But if he's willing to do that, like, if he's willing to buy into it, because hearing, like, the talk about that reminded me so much of the 2010-2011 season when the Lakers were really struggling. I remember they lost to the Cavs going into the All-Star break, the last game of the All-Star break, and the Cavs were terrible that year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers were just slumping. And then they came out of the All-Star break and won 17 out of 18 games, and the biggest reason for that was Andrew Bynum buying into – his role as basically the same thing, where they said, we need you to defend, rebound, and finish. Yeah. And yeah, Lakers, like, flipped the switch, and they probably peaked a little too early that year, but it was a different team when they got guys to buy into their roles. And so if he could do that, I'd be for it. I'm still not convinced that he would be 100% dedicated to that role.
The thing with Dwight that irks me, and by the way, before I even say this, I think my number one concern with him is health. He hasn't been the same in a long time, and last year he played in 9 games. Like, that's an issue.
That's my concern with, like, every Laker on the roster, the way the last, like, 6 years have gone.
Yeah, and, like, you know, we talked about, you know, he's still a really good, talented player when he's on the court. The year before on the Hornets, he played 81 games and averaged about 17 and 13. That's, like, elite production. And, you know, if he could provide that for the Lakers, then yes, that's amazing. The thing with Dwight that irks me is that we hear this stuff basically year in and year out with him, that now he's buying it. Now he's getting his fresh start with his 8th team or whatever. And it just, you know, after a while, even taking the Lakers bias out of it, because obviously, like, that year was so awful that he alienated basically every person who has ever rooted for the Lakers. And honestly, half the fans of all the other teams as well. That's how bad it was. Even taking that bias out of it, it's really tiresome to keep hearing this sort of information and, whatever lip service that reporters give as agents to try and get them new jobs. And it's like, after a while, it becomes really hard to believe. And yeah, there have been times where he's bought into it and he's been really good. And there's been times where he's been scapegoated when it wasn't really his fault. But when it happens over and over again, at some point you got to point the finger and be like, all right, this dude, there's issues that this dude doesn't understand, that he doesn't work to fix. And he goes back to, no matter how many times he gets this fresh start, that just make it really hard to have him on a winning basketball team.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I don't know. Like you said, he can still be a very impactful player. It's just for me, where's his, where's his mind at? And that's, I mean, there's a lot of risk there. There's a lot of risk there. I mean, it's, I would view it, I guess, as high risk, high reward, because I think his fit would still be really good, assuming he buys into his role. It's just, is he going to buy in? So that's the big question. And I just have a hard, such a hard time seeing it happen, because I mean, Kobe and Rob Pelinka are like best friends, and like Dwight and Kobe did not get along at all. I mean, like literally, I mean, basically came to blows. Like, even the next, was it the next year or 2 years after? I can't remember. In that game where Dwight swung an elbow and Kobe called them soft and all that. So, yeah, I have such a hard time. Like, to me, it's just kind of Lakers, like Ramona Shelburne reported that it's kind of Lakers doing their due diligence and kind of surveying their options and, just kind of seeing what is out there and taking their time and trying to just get the right guy in to replace DeMarcus Cousins. So, I mean, if it happens, I won't be overly upset. I know a lot of would be. I just, be a little wary, I guess, of how he's going to handle that situation. So,
If Dwight signed with the Lakers, he would definitely get booed by his home crowd, right?
probably at least until he like showed that he was like a high impact player again.
Yeah, which is another reason why I find it unlikely that it happens. It's not a great look.
He just needs a nickname that sounds like makes the ooh sound. I mean, we have like for a while there, we didn't know if Luke Walton was getting booed or if they were just chanting Luke. But I mean, that's the beauty of like having a name like that. You just don't know. You can assume one way or the other. But yeah, there's some other options out there though. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think we're starting to enter kind of late August. But there are some options out there. I mean, you're not going to get the same production that a DeMarcus Cousins, especially like a healthy DeMarcus Cousins, will provide. But who's or what are some options that you would have your eye on, assuming the Lakers don't sign Dwight Howard?
So I think the guy that you and I most agree about as probably our number one option of who we would want is Joakim Noah.
Oh, I
Noah's a
wanted to
guy.
bring Andrew Bynum back.
Well, depends on the hair.
Well, there's a bank in LA. There's a bank in every city, so
the bowling alleys still going? We gotta find
just gotta make sure they're not greased up too much.
out. Noah is the guy that I actually wanted on the Lakers last year before they got Tyson Chandler. Because again, it was a need to have a backup center for JaVale. Yes, he is old and pretty washed up compared to what he was on the Bulls, but he's also not as bad as it seemed he was with the Knicks. I think with the Knicks just being as awful as they were in the situation where he got so overpaid in that same summer that he who shall not be named also got a 4-year deal from the Lakers. Last year with the Grizzlies, he played about half the season there and he only averaged 7 and 6, but Noah's not necessarily the kind of guy who puts up a lot of stats, but he can do a lot of little things for you. He's a good team
Doesn't like,
defender.
I was gonna say, he does like all the dirty work.
Exactly. He's a good team defender, even if he doesn't block shots very often. He's talking all the time on defense. Offensively, he can like hit a little bit of a jumper, even though it looks awful and ridiculous. But most importantly, I think with him is he is a great passer as a center. And given that the Lakers were kind of hoping they would use that skill from Boogie, I think Noah kind of fits that mold, and it doesn't really change how the team is built and how the team wants to play. Even if it might not be out of post-ups like it would have been for Boogie, but it'll be out of like the short roll and pick and rolls, or give it to him in the high post and let him create from there. You know, they need all the playmakers they can get. And as a center, you know, going up against other centers, that gives them a little bit of a mismatch. And I think, you know, playing 10 minutes a night, 15 minutes a night, he can still provide a lot of good things, even if he's obviously not as good as he used to be.
That's, I was gonna say, the playmaking ability is one of two reasons why he's probably my favorite for that spot to replace Boogie. Because yeah, I mean, you get a guy that can create, I mean, off of those dribble handoffs, you know, can hit guys on backdoor cuts and stuff like that. He is a good creator from the center position, and I think the Lakers need creators because I still don't know how many like minutes Rondo is gonna play. Because to me, I mean, the two other point guards the Lakers have are better than him. They just provide things that are probably more valuable. But yeah, just any help they can get in the creation department would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So I think getting that from him is why makes him a favorite for me. The other thing is I think he understands what his role would be. And, you know, that's, like I said, that would be my concern with Dwight. I wouldn't have any concerns with that with Noah. Mm-hmm. You know, he would come in kind of understanding, hey, he's going to come off the bench. He's going to probably operate kind of out of the high post as like a screener and dribble handoffs, stuff like that. And he's going to defend. He's going to, you know, rebound. And, you know, I think his skill set would be perfect for a guy that comes off the bench and plays 15, 20 minutes a night. And, you know, I think, I mean, probably him and JaVale, I guess, together will probably play roughly like 40 minutes each a night, or not each, combined. We're going to play a lot of overtime games.
Bold strategy.
A lot of overtime games, and we're just going to play really, really big. AD is going to play small forward. Shout out to Kurt Rambis.
Oh, no. Ryan Kelly all over again.
But no, I mean, you can get probably, 35 to 40 minutes a night out of those two at center. And then you can have Anthony Davis, or you can play LeBron spot minutes at center. I don't think is probably a good idea, but you can do that if you need to.
Right.
So, I mean, I think ideally that would probably be the best option for the Lakers. I mean, there's some other guys out there, but I would just really like the fit, for the reasons that we mentioned, and his, you know, he's going to buy into his role. And I, you know, I think Noah's a really good teammate. I know he made some comments a while back about LeBron. I doubt that would be an issue. I've been thinking like at different parts of this podcast, like, wasn't there somebody that got signed that like had an issue with somebody else back or with a team a few years ago? And like they buried the hatchet. I don't know. It's happened like a few times in recent years, like LeBron went back to Cleveland, even though Dan Gilbert said some really stupid things and about him. And I don't know. But I really don't think that would be an issue. I mean, people said the same thing about like Kobe and Matt Barnes, cause they got into it. Then the very next year, the Lakers signed Matt Barnes, and Kobe and Ron Artest, you know, had that, the little spats, in that playoff series, and the Lakers signed him and won a title. So, I don't think it would really be an issue. And I think Noah's a good teammate and would be a really good fit. But who else, I guess, because you had a list brought up before we came on, I guess, who else kind of jumps out at you?
To be honest with you, the list isn't great. But
are you calling me a liar? Because I said there's still some good options out there.
I mean, they exist. I
if
guess
we could just reverse the clock on them for about 3 or 4 years, then they're really good.
I won't really talk too much about these dudes because there's not a lot to say, but like Amir Johnson is a guy I thought of. He didn't really stick in Philadelphia, which might be a little bit of a red flag given that they need a backup for Embiid. But he's a good veteran, does the dirty work again. He can also step out and hit a three every once in a while. Greg Monroe is another dude who operates out of the post a lot and can pass pretty well. Awful defender though. They could bring Mozgov back. And
You remember earlier when I said I was gonna slap you? I'm just gonna say it again. I'm gonna slap you.
I deserved that time. Another super old dude, Nene, who I believe declined his option with the Rockets and then didn't sign with anybody, so I don't really know what's going on there. I guess he really just didn't want to play in Houston anymore. And then I guess maybe like Ekpe Udoh, who played a little bit with Utah last year, but like I think barely played, so I don't really feel that strongly about him. But those are like a few of the names that popped out at me. And then I think you wanted to talk about Kenneth Faried, who's another guy that we've heard a little bit about, not through reports, but just people kind of speculating about him.
So I have two names that I can really think of. Fareed is one. I just wish Fareed was a little bit taller, because he's what, 6'8",
That's
six
true.
seven,
He's a
six eight.
baller. Yeah.
I swear to God. You didn't deserve that chicken sandwich. That's all I'm gonna say. But no,
No, this is what happens when you deal with trauma from not getting your chicken sandwich.
Oh my God, Popeyes, get this man a chicken sandwich so I don't have to deal with him on this pod anymore. Anyways, back to Kenneth Faried. Yeah, I wish he was a little taller because I mean he's what, 6'7", 6'8". So I mean really he's a four, and the Lakers kind of need a five because I think they have enough fours on the roster. So I mean I wish he was a little taller, but at the very least, I mean, he's a guy that has a high motor. He's not overly old. He's 29. I always hated when the Lakers had to play against him because he just plays so hard. I think he's a guy that will embrace his role and, will go out there, set good screens, and he'll dive hard to the basket. I don't know. I don't know really what the numbers look like on him as like a finisher around the basket. But that guy's going to create extra possessions for you. He works really hard on the glass despite being undersized. And, at the very least, he's going to make guys work. He might grind some teams down a little bit. And like I said, he'll create some extra possessions and, he'll help secure rebounds and, get the ball going the other way. So that's one guy I would keep an eye on. Like I said, I don't know. I mean, I don't know like how he is as a defender anymore. But I do know, I mean, I really like high motor guys and he's definitely that. So I think that would be kind of a welcome addition to this team, even though he is a bit undersized. And I think staggering the lineups a little bit, I mean, it would force Anthony Davis to play center, which we know he doesn't like to do. But I think if you can limit that a little bit, I think he'd probably be okay with it. The other name is somebody that's familiar to Lakers is Jonathan Williams, who signed overseas. And I don't know how that would work in terms of like buying out his contract or whatever. I don't know the specifics on a deal that he signed over there. But I mean, he's a guy that would be familiar with, some of the guys already on the Lakers, and he would present the Lakers, kind of a switchy type of big man that was, pretty good pick and it seemed like a pretty good pick and roll guy. I don't think we'll offer much really in terms of like shooting or really scoring. But we'll go in, he'll rebound. He allows you to do some different things defensively because he can switch and kind of guard some perimeter guys and be effective there. And so I think the fit would be pretty good with him. And nobody else in the NBA signed him, but I mean, if they're able to like buy out his deal overseas, I mean, it could be a decent option.
Going back really quick, since you said you didn't know how Kenneth Reed was as a shooter around the rim, or what his efficiency around the rim, he shot, I'm only saying this for one reason, but he shot 69% from 0 to 3 feet with the Rockets last year.
Nice.
And then as for Jonathan Williams, Yeah, I think he was really good in the limited minutes he played last year. I don't know if it has to be necessarily Jonathan Williams, but I do like the idea of going for like a young upstart guy, maybe in the G League, who, yeah, can bring energy, rebound the ball, and then just eat up minutes and defend the bigger dudes, so Anthony Davis or LeBron or whoever else don't really have to. I think that's definitely a really good option given, you know, the list that we had. Pretty much every available center is, you know, in their mid-30s or older, and the ones that are younger than that are basically Dwight with a back issue. So, you know, getting somebody who can play a lot more minutes and be fresh and bring energy is definitely something that I think is worthwhile to look at.
Yeah, I think, I mean, personally, like if they go out and sign Joakim Noah, especially because right before we went on, that video of him like with Devin Booker was like, okay, he's already getting in the like under the skin of division rivals. Like, let's sign the man. Like,
He Joakim Noah would 100% be a perfect Corey Brewer replacement for more reasons than one. He's gonna lock down Devin Booker, he's gonna talk a lot of smack, and he's gonna look goofy as hell while doing it.
Oh God. Yeah. Well, I actually forgot to bring up this stat. You bringing up that stat just for really non-important reasons made me think of this, but I actually looked up Joakim Noah. So I think he played 43 games with the Grizzlies last year. He played half a season basically. And he had one of the better defensive ratings or the yeah, with him on the floor. The defensive efficiency was pretty good, and he actually had a positive net rating with the Grizzlies, which I think is pretty impressive considering all the shuffling that they had to do because of injuries and trades and all that stuff. So he was, I mean, they were solid, honestly, with him on the floor. So I think he's a guy that can still be impactful in you know, in that 15 to 20 minute a night role coming off the bench. So just wanted to throw that out there. But yeah, I think that's gonna do it. Honey, do you have anything else you wanna say that will make you me want to slap you some more?
I mean, I don't know why you would slap me for telling the truth, but Nevada basketball is still on top, with our multiple players on the Lakers, and you know, looking forward to winning the Mountain West Conference for, I believe it would be the fourth straight year or third straight year. I don't know.
Yeah, we've
I
upgraded from
was kind
slapping to
of.
punching. I'm just gonna punch you. I don't condone violence on this podcast, but you're pushing it, pal.
I had violence committed against me by Popeyes tonight,
Yeah, and I can tell just from this pod that you deserved it. Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll have to monitor that situation going forward, both the chicken sandwich situation and the Lakers center situation. I don't know which one's more important at this point, but we will keep an eye on both.
Hey, remember when Kendall Marshall didn't get recognized? Was that at the Popeyes? Or am I making that up? I feel like it was at a Popeyes.
I can't.
I'm gonna pretend it was.
I remember Mike Brown like being seen somewhere at one of those like restaurants. And some like fan took a picture with him, and it was just like Mike Brown living his best life. And it was like, yeah, it was like right after he got fired by the Lakers. But anyways.
Speaking of Lakers at restaurants, I have it on good authority from a source that Timofey Mozgov was at a Buffalo Wild Wings in LA a couple of weeks ago. So, I mean, listen, if he's in town and we need a center.
Oh. Not going down that dark timeline again.
The wrong wing spot, though. Hey, wing stop. We're also looking for free wings.
We just want to be sponsored by every restaurant out there.
It's the dream.
Okay.
I don't get free if you pay for my food.
Right, we're getting out of here. Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, if you like the podcast, you can subscribe to us on YouTube, iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify. Find everything, all of our content on the site at LakersOutsiders.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can follow Hani on Twitter at Hani Ahm, H-O-N-I-A-H-M. For me, it's just my first and last name, Gary Kester, K-E-S-T-E-R. And if you spell Gary any other way, I already have a serious issue with you, because like I get so annoyed meeting like a Gary that's like G-A-R-R-Y. Like, don't do that. But yeah, we're going to get out of here. Maybe start a new search for Popeye's chicken sandwich, and we'll go from there. So we'll be on again soon. We do want to talk about, we got a couple topics that we want to talk about, schedule release we wanted to get to, but the DeMarcus Cousins injury kind of derailed that for a little bit. So we'll get back to that. And yeah, until next time, hopefully we'll talk about a Popeye's chicken sandwich that we actually got to enjoy. All right. Well, Hani, thanks for jumping on. Thank you guys for listening. And for Hani and Amadian, I'm Gary Kester signing off.
Shout out Steve Blake.